Are you ready?
Now back to Heatwave Sports.
Hour 2, Heatwave Sports, a Super Sunday night. We're with you every Saturday and Sunday night at 10 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Radio. Tim Uglesby, Tom Barton. And as we start hour number 2, we're going to talk week 10 in the NFL. And Tom, we you know, yesterday was the big upsets in college football. Today, the biggest upset in the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons, who you could have got on the money line, I saw this morning at almost 6-1, knock off the Saints in New Orleans 26-9.
Survivor pools, right? I mean, I'm out. I was in a survivor pool for 20-some-odd thousand dollars. That I was down, it started out over 3,000 people. I was down to a little less than 200. And there goes that. I don't know what the Saints were doing today. I really don't. Look, I get that it was a divisional game. And I know everyone's going to consistently go, well, it's a divisional rivalry game. Matt Ryan, Freeman, Julio, they got offensive talent. That's all fine and good. But Atlanta has a pathetic defense. And their defense played well. Or did the Saints offense play poorly? I mean, you can look at this Saints team and just ask yourself what happened. There's just no answer. Drew Brees looked bad out there. He didn't look like, you know, mediocre. He looked bad. He looked rusty. Kamara, where was he? I mean, a couple of passes that he caught, you're thinking, you're waiting for Kamara to make that move, and he did. Michael Thomas looked great. I'll give Michael Thomas credit. But overall, how do you not score on this Atlanta team? That's a head-scratcher here. I'm not stunned that Atlanta won. You told me yesterday, you know what, Atlanta's going to win the game. I go, all right, listen, it's a divisional game. What'd they win, you know, 54-52?
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, the Saints didn't score. That's shocking to me.
And I don't understand, again, like you said, what was the play calling in this? I know Atlanta's defensive front was on fire today. But you get Kamara back healthy, which he's quote-unquote healthy. Between Kamara and Latavius Murray, Tommy, they only ran the ball 9 times, and it wasn't like they were getting blown out where you have to go to the air. This game didn't get extended into double digits until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Tim, how about the late play calling? You know, Atlanta has a 14-point lead with about 5.5 or 6 minutes to go, and Drew Brees is dinking and dunking. They didn't take a shot deep. They didn't try to press it. They didn't test a defense that didn't have Keanu Neal late. I didn't understand that. You know, like, listen, you said, you know what, they were living in the backfield. I get that. But you've got to take a chance. Sean Payton is a terrific head coach. I think Sean Payton just didn't have his team where they needed to be. And it was a failure in all aspects of this game.
I know you'd kind of maybe foreshadow a little bit of what Atlanta should do in the offseason. They're 2-7, which, you know how this league is, Tom. You go on a roll and you start winning games, and even DeMond kind of said it in the update of how Miami's ruining their chances of getting the number one pick, which I think you and I both believe that it's okay. We'd rather them not necessarily have to be pigeonholed into a one spot, but Atlanta, for sake, would this be the time to go ahead and pick up a quarterback?
No, they're not going to do that. Look, Matt Ryan, people think that he's got this, you know, on your up here. Look, he's 2 years removed from an MVP. Last season, he actually performed really well. His stats were great. This year, he's good. Well, I think he passed for over 300 yards every game, literally. Like, it might be all but one game. He's fine. And he's, you know, look, he's 32, but I think Matt Ryan is the type of quarterback that can last in this league because of the way that he plays the game. I think Matt Ryan's a guy that you don't think about a quarterback if you're a fan. And that's not the problem area, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, this team could move the ball. They have weapons. That's not, if Matt Ryan is not the problem here, the problem is the defense. They have to go get a defense.
Okay, let's kind of look at next week. The Saints, coming off this terrible performance, hit the road to take, they'll be in Tampa to take on the Bucs, and they're right now a 5-point opening line favorite.
You know, the Bucs are a scary team. Tampa Bay is a scary team. Everyone's going to be on the same. You know that.
Yeah.
Everyone's going with the bounce back theory. It's the Alabama situation that we talked about earlier. Everyone's waiting for the Saints to bounce back. They're going to be huge. Oh, my God, they're going to go in there. They're going to crush the Bucs. Tim, where's that game being played?
Tampa.
Yeah, it is. Tampa Bay, where Drew Brees is outside, he struggles in Tampa Bay. He struggles in conference outside. He's always struggled. He struggles away. I think the 5.5 line is a great line. And what's scary about the 5.5 line is if we turn around and we're watching a 42-10 win, I'm going to go, yeah, that's about right. The Saints are bouncing back. But it wouldn't shock me to see Tampa Bay and New Orleans another loss. That's how dangerous I think this game is.
And what about the Falcons? Big game today. Now they hit the road. They're going to Carolina. And they're almost a touchdown underdog to Kyle Allen and the Panthers.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Atlanta. I think Atlanta just had a great day. I don't think Atlanta's a team to look for moving forward. I don't think that they fixed the problem. I don't think that this is a team that I'm going to be staring at and saying, oh, yeah, that's the team I want to be backing. Carolina also plays close games, so I don't love the spread right away, but I think Carolina wins the game. They're at home. Atlanta had a great game against the opponent that they know so well. And I think it was just one of those light bulb always shines brightest right before it goes out kind of situations. I think that's what we're looking at.
I think it's safe to say that Christian McCaffrey will run more than 9 times in that game next week.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Buffalo, Cleveland, the Bills, Super Bowl flashbacks here. Missed field goal, 22 seconds, and the Browns escape with a 19-16 victory. You thought they won the Super Bowl, Tom, if you see the highlights or were watching the game. 3-6 now,
yeah,
for the Brownies.
I had Buffalo. I had Buffalo plus the 3, so I got a push, but that was the Cleveland went crazy, right? I mean, Buffalo played, I can't say that they played a poor game, though. Buffalo played the game that the Buffalo Bills played, and that is a tight defensive game. They got a safety in this game. They lived in the backfield. This is who Buffalo is, and as far as Cleveland goes, everyone's looking at the Cleveland schedule going, yeah, they could go on a roll. They can't go on a roll. They got games at home. But nothing that I watched today, Tim, says that anything has been fixed. Right? What did you know about the Cleveland Browns before yesterday's game? What did you know about them? They have a good defense. They can get to the quarterback. They have all kinds of offensive problems. Well, Tim, I don't think anything's changed. They still have a good defense. They still have, can get to the quarterback, and they still have all sorts of offensive problems. I mean, to me, nothing changed. There was nothing different at all. And that is what's weird about people going after this Cleveland team and all of a sudden thinking they fixed the problem. Baker Mayfield looked bad. Odell Beckham looked bad. Even Nick Chubb could not get anything working. And I know Buffalo's defense is really good. I'm not saying that they're not. Buffalo's defense is exceedingly good. But I saw nothing to suggest that the Browns have fixed anything.
Brownies will be at home Thursday night football, and the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town.
You know, this is going to be an intriguing game. I mean, this is a season-saving game. I know everybody's staring at the Buffalo game, but look, they don't beat Pittsburgh. They don't often beat Pittsburgh, right? You have a Pittsburgh team that is playing okay, but they're also banged up. This is a game where Cleveland has to win if you want to make anything out of this year. But again, Tim, what have you seen? And what has changed with all of a sudden the Cleveland Browns? It's the same old Browns.
Same old Browns. The lovable losers. Freddie Kitchens gone after 1 year. That's what I see.
Freddie Kitchens shouldn't have been hired.
Right.
I mean, I talked about that the day that he was hired. Here's how you know why you know Freddie Kitchens. And he seems like a nice guy, right? He seems like a dude you hang out with at the bar, but not a head coach. Here's what I didn't like about the Freddie Kitchens thing. Number one, the reason why the Cleveland Browns last year became a talk, became the team that people thought that they would become, was because of Greg Williams. And they let Greg Williams go. We all know. Anybody that's watched that football for 20 minutes knows that Greg Williams should have been the head coach of this team. And he would have been the head coach of this team had he not had those past, problems, we'll say. Then you have a guy like Bob Wiley come out. Bob Wiley is the big, fat offensive lineman, offensive line coach. from Art Knox, the guy with the belly that was yelling Hutton, and Philly was bouncing up and down. Well, Bob Wiley was the offensive line coach. Bob Wiley came out and said, Freddie Kitchen wasn't calling the plays. He never called the plays. Then another coaching staff member came out and said, we like Freddie Kitchen. Freddie Kitchen didn't have as much part of the team as they wanted to make it believe. Why are people coming out against you, Freddie Kitchen? Well, now we're seeing it. He was never the answer. I don't know why they made this decision. I thought it was a dumb decision at the time. They're going through a whole year where it's an even worse decision. It doesn't make any sense to me.
The rumblings I heard at the time, and I remember I asked you why Greg Williams wasn't getting the job, and you said, I don't know, that's the Cleveland Browns. What I heard was that Baker Mayfield loves Freddie Kitchens, and that was just something to satisfy Baker Mayfield at the time, and it was obviously the wrong decision.
Well, at the time, I had a coaching option that is still out there, and I believe that coaching option should be filled. And it's the guy that used to coach up in Green Bay there, Tim.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy makes a lot of sense in Cleveland.
Speaking of Green Bay, exciting end of the game, snowy field, goal line, and the Packers stop Christian McCaffrey as time expired. Tom, they escape 24-16 win to move to 8-2 on the season.
Yeah, Green Bay's, to me, still doing it with smoke and mirrors. You know, they are still a team that is 8-2. You can't take it away from them. I won't, you know, sit back and take away an 8-2 team that's going to the playoffs. And they are. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to have home field in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of thing that I just said about the Cleveland Browns. I don't think they fixed their problem. I mean, you had Kyle Allen come in to that game and less than a couple of inches away from being an overtime game against Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen, right? Which is where Green Bay is. You can beat teams that are, you're more talented than. You can have your sparkling 2 record, and that's fantastic. But where are the hopes for Green Bay? Where are you really believing this team is going to go? I think Green Bay is going to win the division. I think Green Bay is going to win a playoff game. But if you're really talking about this team maybe going to the Super Bowl, I see a lot of problems. And even in a win, problems can be exposed. And in a win today, I saw those problems exposed. This team can't stop the run. They have a hard time stopping the run. And offensively, they are still, it doesn't look right. You know, they're putting up points, but it doesn't look right offensively. I just can't argue with the record, though.
I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and I said to him, Kyle Allen outplayed Aaron Rodgers today. And he said, this is his response, you and Tommy just hate A-Rod, so you say things like that. And I said, look at the stats of the game. If you had Aaron Rodgers as a fantasy quarterback today, Tom, 233 yards, no touchdowns. If you had Kyle Allen as a fantasy quarterback today, 307 yards and touchdown. To me, he scored more points than him.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think that we've seen that happen a lot this year, though. Aaron Rodgers has those unbelievable, oh my God, the 4-touchdown kind of game. And he's a guy that is aging in his career. He has the ability, if everything's clicking, and he wakes up and he feels good that day, right? And everything's clicking, he still can be the best player on the field. But that's not going to happen consistently. And this league is about consistency. Aaron Rodgers this year is getting thrown about as an MVP candidate. And I ask everybody, I go and look at game by game, what has Aaron Rodgers done? Game by game. Because you're going to see massive, massive peaks and pretty big valleys. He didn't play well today. I mean, that's just plain and simple. And it's the Green Bay Packers fans that say, well, you know what, we're getting a win when A-Rod doesn't play well. They're right. They absolutely are. That it is nice for their team to get wins when he doesn't play well. The problem is we're saying that more often than you want to. You get into the playoffs and you go and take on playoff teams. San Francisco, you go take on New Orleans, you go take on North Philly and Dallas, you go take on these playoff-caliber teams, you've got to be on point. And A-Rod has not been on point more often than not this year.
And I agree. I think the smoke and mirror theory is great. At 8-2, playoff team, if anything, they're actually just hurting themselves long-term because they're not going to be able to sustain this level of play. Neither is Aaron Rodgers, and I think you're looking at a couple lean years coming up for Green Bay. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, they do some things well in Green Bay that you are starting to like, and you're starting to like what they're building. They're building, you know, youth, but they're not building youth in the key kind of slots and the key positions, because they're holding out the hope that we could squeeze one more title out of Aaron Rodgers in the next 2 years. And I think it's a 2-year window to squeeze something out of Aaron Rodgers. You mentioned Jake Fromm, right? When we talked about him in hour one, he said, where do you think Jake Fromm could go? This is a great spot for Jake Fromm. You go and get drafted here by Green Bay late in the first round. You sit on the bench for a year under Aaron Rodgers and see what you can be. And they might have to make that decision. The problem is that any Green Bay Packer fan that's listening to me right now, Tim, they're screaming at me, telling me I'm crazy because of Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't bench him. I'm not saying bench him this year. I'm not even saying bench him next year. You got to look 3 years down the road. And 3 years down the road, Aaron Rodgers is going to be, what, 37 years old? You know, you start to get 37, 38, start to get into that position. Last year, Phillip Rivers had a great year. This year, Phillip Rivers kind of fell off the map. It happens fast when you get older. I'm not saying it did happen to Aaron Rodgers, but you're starting to see some cracks in his pristine demeanor, right? You're starting to see maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't a guy that can single-handedly win games consistently anymore.
Last year's Super Bowl runners-up, the NFC champion L.A. Rams headed into Heinz Field as a 4.5-point favorite. Tom, they leave 17-12 losers. They dropped to 5-4 on the season. What's going on in L.A.?
No, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I had heard from people in Pittsburgh that the Steelers had one of the worst practice weeks that they could imagine. Spirits were down because of the Connor situation. Juju is frustrated. It was all negativity out of Pittsburgh. And the Rams go out there and they lose. Look, Sean McVay is a very talented head coach. But you also have to be able to, in this league, kind of go with the flow, right? And you have to be able to change. Right now, Sean McVay has not been able to change. He's not been able to adjust to the league. I want to say kind of catching up to him, right? The genius of Bill Belichick is 1 week he utilizes a running game and he's going to run the ball 35 times. But next week, he's going deep all over the place. The next week, he's going dink and dunk. Next week, he's going to, you know, using the tight ends and the running back. The beauty of Bill Belichick is that he switches it up all the time. I mean, maybe we should give McDaniel credit for that, but you never know. Sean McVay is a guy that is an offensive mindset. He's got this offensive mindset that was able to take over the league last year. He's got a quarterback that he's able to effectively just manipulate and be a robot out there, right? I mean, McVay might as well be the quarterback out there. But if the other teams know it, and that's what we're at, the other teams know what's coming. He hasn't adjusted. The Rams are in a bad way, and I'm telling you, today's loss, I think that eliminated the Rams from the playoffs.
You know, you go out and you say, okay, Ram D, you give up 17, we're going to win this game. You know, they have, like you said, Connor's out. We're going to limit the Steelers to just 40 yards on the ground. We're going to win this game. We're going to win it convincingly, and we're going to go home and prepare for next week's Sunday night game. Instead, like you said, they can't score. Gurley's just about damn near ineffective. And it wasn't like Mason Rudolph was just throwing the ball over the field, Tom. It's just, you 100% hit on the nail on the head. No offensive flow at all. And is that McVay? Is that the OC? Who is McVay anyways? Or is that Jared Goff regressing?
Well, look, if we're going to sit here last year, Sid, and we're going to talk week in and week out about how just tremendous and how amazing Jared Goff is and how amazing and how tremendous Sean McVay is, right? That's all we did last year. Then they have to take the brunt of it also. This is a McVay problem, first and foremost. How many catches did Cooper Kupp get today, right? How many did he get? You just look at the play calling, and I don't like it. And on the other side, I know it's all about the Rams here, Tim, but on the other side, let's also take a look at Pittsburgh. Ever since that big Fitzpatrick trade, their defense has been phenomenal. Not good, phenomenal. They are shutting down the Rams. They are just blowing teams on a defensive back situation. I mean, they are just massively better. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, all of a sudden, are a really, really, really dangerous team because that defense is a scary defense.
Cooper Kupp, zero catches today.
Yeah, how did that game flow work out?
You're right. The defense of Pittsburgh's come alive, and it seems to have corresponded with picking up Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins. Now, we've gotten a decent sample size with the Roethlisberger injury of Mason Rudolph. Are you convinced that that's the future for Pittsburgh, or is he a serviceable backup?
I don't think it really matters, really, what my opinion is here, Tim. And that's not to be crass about it, but we know two things. We know Mason Rudolph is going to be on the roster for the rest of this year. He's going to be the starting quarterback. Yeah. We know next year Big Ben's coming back. He's going to be the starting quarterback, right? So Pittsburgh may not believe that Mason Rudolph is the answer long-term, but he's going to be the answer for the next 2 years. So you don't even have to think about it for at least 2 years. What I've watched with Mason Rudolph in a very short stint here is that he's solid. I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's a guy that you could necessarily count on to, you know, be that superstar. But he's solid, and I think he can be a solid player.
Interactive radio. Tom, here we go. Text message coming in. Stop it, Tommy. Steelers are no one. They are trash. Come on.
They're no one. They are trash. Tim, what's their record?
5-4.
Oh, 5-4. Okay. Yeah. If the playoffs started today, would the Steelers be right in the mix?
They would be in. They would be right. The sixth seed, yeah.
Yeah, so they'd be in. So a garbage team is trash, that would be in the playoffs. All right. I rest my case.
Next week, we just said Steelers in Cleveland on Thursday night. That'll be a good game. How about this one, though, the Rams? We've got to lick their wounds. You said this could have cost them a potential playoff spot if the way the direction things are going. They get the Sunday night.
Well, I think it did.
They're going to have to bounce back then if they want to prove you wrong Sunday night against your Chicago Bears.
And then you certainly might bounce back. I mean, the Bears, you know, Mitch Trubisky is you know, the MVP of the league at this point after last night. Right. They certainly might bounce back, though. It's just, I just think there's too much of a road to climb. I don't see three teams coming out of the West and making the playoffs, and I think that that's what we're in a position. You're going to need three teams coming out of the West. San Francisco's already in the playoffs, and Seattle's not far behind. I just don't believe that three teams are coming out of the West. Where it is in the schedule and everything else that you look at with this team, it's too far to climb. I think today's loss just eliminated the Rams of the playoffs.
So the Bears, team that will play in L.A. against the Rams Sunday night. Home 2013 victory over the Lions. Matt Stafford announced out of the game early in the morning. And the Bears, well, you know, Trubisky, you can say what you want about him. Three touchdown passes today.
Three touchdown passes. They look good. All of a sudden, Trubisky had some stuff working. And, you know, I've been keeping, obviously, a very good on what the hell is going on in Chicago, right? And everyone is blaming Trubisky, and I continue to keep blaming that Matt Nagy. Why I have this on an insider in Chicago that gave me his case, and it was a fantastic case. And it was just basically that Matt Nagy's offense last year was so crazy, and he used the word quirk, and all over the place, that it set Trubisky back. You know, it set him back where he's still learning the league, and he's not able to learn the league because of all the quirkiness that was there. It was crazy. It was quirky. It was a weird offense. For Mitch Trubisky to succeed, he is going to need, and that's what he's getting now, he was going to need just a giant pullback, Tim, a giant pullback into, let's really simplify the offense. Throw the ball to the tight end. Throw the ball to Tyree Cohen. And that's what they did.
So the question, like you said, what the hell is going on in Chicago? With the win, they're 4-5. Obviously, you'd have to say that the division title is probably out of reach. with just six games left and a four-game deficit there. Is there a possibility, and they'd have to run through a pretty tough gauntlet at the end of the season to get in, or are you saying that we're packing up and going for next year?
I think it's over for the Bears. I mean, I think it was over a couple of weeks ago. I am a realist. I'd like to tell you that they could squeak into the playoffs. But forget about the Trubisky and Nagy thing. There are just certain things that I don't see. I have yet to see this year Khalil Mack completely and utterly take over a team. I've yet to see that. That's a concern. You know, this is a defense. What about Jackson, right? Jackson last year, it was a turnover machine. He looked like he was a reincarnation of Peanut Thillman. Doesn't have a turnover this year. You know, this defense is still very good, but it's certainly not what it once was and what it was last year. And that is a overlying problem. The overlying problem is that the Chicago Bears, we can stare at the offense all you want, but the defense isn't to that level either. I think this is a good learning step for the Bears. I know in a lost season, it's hard to find teams that are good. They know that you got to come back, and you know, revamp this team. Not get new players, get new schemes, and that's the positive of the Chicago Bears. But no, I don't think that they're turning this around and winning and getting into the playoffs.
Halfway through a Sunday night, when we come back, more Week 10 of the NFL. Mahomes, last year's MVP, back in action today. We'll let you know how he did. And Lamar Jackson, the MVP votes are coming in. His name is on the ballot. We'll talk about that game as well. Plus a look ahead at some of the big matchups in Week 11 and the Monday night or tomorrow. I guess you can say in a half hour it'll be tomorrow. As the NFC West, Tom said it, Battle of the West, Frisco and the Seahawks. We'll get Tom's thoughts on that game for Monday Night Football as well. You're listening to Heatwave Sports here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM.
Kick field goals a lot in this part of the field.
Edwards still in. Picard, the fullback, fake. Here they come to the end zone. That is a touchdown. Mark Andrews with a 2-yard touchdown reception. Edwards is in. Second down, 9. And down the middle, that's a touchdown, and it's caught by Mark Andrews. First and 10. Good call, Rich. It's picked off! Marcus Peters! He has nothing in front of him! There he goes! Chased by Erickson! That is a pick six! Another touchdown! It's a second down and 3. Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh! He broke his ankles! Now he's got an entourage! And he's got a touchdown! He is Houdini! What a play!
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
Moved to 7-2 on the season, the 49-13 win on the road in Cincinnati. Lamar Jackson, 4 total touchdowns for him today, Tom, as the Ravens 7-2, 2-game lead in the AFC North.
Tim, did I lose you?
Did you hear me on that?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
I said highlights of Lamar Jackson there, 3 touchdowns to the air, 1 on the ground. He had almost, 300 yards total combined yardage for himself. 49-13, the Ravens 7-2, 2-game lead there in the AFC North.
That's pretty funny. I mean, you went over this game over the course of the week, and I said, I'm a little concerned about a potential letdown. I know it's Ryan Finley. But you said, you're right, you know what, it's on the road. We need to start looking at Baltimore as one of the best teams in the NFL, not as a team that's just playing well. And there is certainly a difference. I mean, we just had a little bit of fun with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that are playing well, right? I mean, they're a playoff team, barely, but they're playing well. I think the Green Bay Packers are playing well. I think the Baltimore Ravens are a team that can win the Super Bowl. I mean, there is a massive difference there. And that's where we need to start looking at this team. There was no letdown. After this performance today was almost as impressive as the New England performance because of what could have gone wrong. You know, you went on the road, your emotional state, everything, you know, that you circled on your calendar, you went out, you beat them. It was a, you know, a little bit of a short week. You have all of that working against you. And I don't mean to go out there and lose, but to go out there and put the wild thing that they did on there, I got nothing but just absolutely the best thing to ever say about Harbaugh, which you know that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember last year there was the question of maybe he would be fired, and I almost blew my top because of how good this guy is. And now he's got Jackson and Ingram, and you want to talk about adapting. The same with the theme that we talked about with McVay. How about a guy that adapts? Harbaugh's adapt from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson, who he may not have even wanted. He has said, you know what, we're going to adapt, we're going to move, we're going to change our team, and I could not be more impressed with this Baltimore team.
Yeah, I agree. I think he totally 100% knew that, whether we agreed with it or not, his job was definitely, he was on that hot seat if they didn't make that run at the end of the season last year and get in the playoffs. He gets obviously retained, and knowing that the Joe Flacco era ends, and that's what ownership wants. They want Lamar Jackson in there. He figured it out. Him and the OC got together, and they went with how to use Lamar Jackson as an NFL quarterback in the regular season. And I say regular season, Tom, because I think you and I both agree that until it's done in the playoffs, that's the next step for Lamar Jackson. And I'm talking about a guy who's 2 years in, but what he's doing now is creating a situation for them to at least be in the playoffs and have home field to where, you know, this offense, he's obviously a lot more comfortable than the one he was last year. And they're doing it. They're beating, you know, with the exception of the New England game, they're beating teams they should beat. And I think that's the difference you see sometimes in playoff teams is that they beat up the teams they're supposed to beat up, and then they win the big games when they have to.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I will say, to stay with Lamar Jackson here, is, you know, I hear so many people, and professionals, I'm not talking about just dudes sitting at the sports book, I hear people talking about, we've never seen this from Lamar Jackson, and from anybody, you know, like Lamar Jackson. And I go, well, that's not true. We see it all the time. Somebody comes into the league with a different style. They explode onto the scene. They're going to be the greatest thing of all time. And then they need to, you know, either fizzle out or change and move on. I remember Cam Newton was being talked about the same light as Lamar Jackson. Different player, but the, you know, the same kind of concept, the same mindset. The league has never seen someone like Cam Newton. And no, they haven't. And the league has never seen anybody like Lamar Jackson. No, they haven't. But a lot of these burst onto the scene, different style, oh my God, type quarterback. What do, Tim? They have great seasons. They win MVPs. They you know, might have a good couple of seasons. But prevailing, they really, none of them have a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Because this style doesn't always fit into the playoffs. I think I might be on the other side here with Jackson. And it's not just because of Jackson. It's because of how he utilizes players. I still don't think the guy can throw a ball. I still don't think he's accurate. But he doesn't have to be. He's utilizing the big tight end, which, you know, you can make an air ball mistake and throw it 8 inches too high, and it doesn't matter. They're going to go get it. I think he's using that correctly because of the offensive coordinator. So, yeah, don't say, hey, never seen anything like this before, because we always see it. There's always a quarterback that comes onto the scene. Patrick Mahomes did it last year. And everyone goes, oh, my God, oh, wow, he's so great. This is unbelievable. Oh, my goodness, give him the MVP. And then they fizzle out in the playoffs for one reason or the other. The list is very long. I am believing, though, that Jackson might be on the other side of that list. He might be a guy that can actually break through. But I don't want to hear that we've never seen this before.
Yeah, I mean, look at his backup. They never saw Robert Griffin III before either, right? Rookie of the year.
Right.
Michael Vick.
Absolutely.
You want to keep going, we can do that. Doug, maybe not so much Doug Williams and Warren Moon as far as the rushing aspect of it, but they were guys that, why do they have jobs? Because they do things differently. I mean, they're football players, right, Tom? They're supposed to figure out a way to get the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, and listen, Jackson is lighting the league on fire. He is doing everything correctly. There's nothing bad that I'm going to say about Lamar Jackson. But you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, Chris, and in a pressure spot with, let's just say, you know, 2 minutes to go, because everybody likes to talk about 2 minutes, with 2 minutes to go and a team down by 30, up in Foxborough, do you believe that he can march down the field and get his team in field goal range?
I have to see it. I can't say yes until I see it, Tom.
Right. I agree.
Whereas if we're talking about the other side of the ball, I know Tom Brady's going to do it. There's the difference. And when you look at the landscape of the AFC, you know, the road still goes through New England, in my opinion. And I think next week we're going to see a good matchup for Baltimore. They are home, but I think the potential of the Houston Texans kind of worries me too, the dynamic that Houston has, because I believe their quarterback is good as well.
I think Deshaun Watson's better than Lamar Jackson. Now, I don't think that he, you know, you mentioned MVP. I don't think that Deshaun Watson deserves the MVP more than Lamar Jackson, but I think he's a better quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't have the same pieces around him, but I think he's a better quarterback. So, yeah, it's a scary game because Deshaun Watson is that guy.
You feel that, I was listening to, you know how we always like to say they're experts because everybody's an expert, but a guy on the radio was saying how Baltimore's false. The defense isn't as good as it was, which, you know, I don't know what you're comparing it to. Are you comparing it to last year? Are you comparing it to 5 years ago? I think they have problems getting pressure on the ball, but I look at one of the best secondaries in football with Peters and Humphrey and Smith and you know, Brandon Carr, guys like that back there. That creates enough of a problem for offenses.
How good was Peters today? You know, I mean, I'm not a fan of this guy, okay? But when he was signed or traded for, you said everyone's going to stare at the Ramsey trade. Basically, you said this might be the difference maker here. And Jamie, he just looks absolutely shut down. We know the talent that he's had. So it was a matter of can he keep that 2 cent head, you know, on the right way and screwed on the right way. And if there's any organization that could do it, it was the Ravens. Man, this guy plays dividends. And you mentioned Humphreys. I think people forget how good he is. I think people forget what he was supposed to be coming out. And you're right, that secondary makes up for a lot of mistakes of not being able to get to the quarterback.
I think Baltimore's a great place to remarket yourself, right? Look at Earl Thomas. He hadn't said a peep since he's been there.
Yeah. Well, they're a very player-friendly atmosphere. So they take a player that feels he's or maybe he's got problems, or he's got this. And they kind of make you feel like it's family. Don't worry, we're here for you. It's all going to be okay. That works for some players. And a guy like Marcus Peters, I think that's what he needed. I think he needed to feel like, you know, listen, you were knocked down a couple of things. You were traded for basically, you know, a bag of balls here. But we wanted you. You know, we gave up that bag of balls for you because we liked you so much. And I think he's going to buy into that. Anybody that's coming into a situation where it's exciting, and Lamar Jackson makes the team exciting, you're excited to get out there. You're excited to play.
Sunday Night Football, we saw the Minnesota Vikings move to 7-3 with a 28-24 win at the Dallas Cowboys, Tom. And just a week ago, the Dallas Cowboys are back. They're going to make a run here. They're going to be the team coming out of the NFC. Loss, 5-4, Dallas.
I don't know who is more of the paper tiger, Minnesota or Dallas. I talked about it this week, and I said I'm honestly not sure if either one of these teams are going to be kept out of the playoffs. Both of them can make it, but I'm not scared of either one of these teams actually win a Super Bowl that actually compete. They are both almost identical of themselves, and tonight's game was kind of right there, right?
Yeah,
they are going to have decent records. Or good records, you know. They're probably both going to go to the playoffs, but I can't rely on either one of them to do anything. And that's where they are. My opinion on either one of these teams has not changed. I don't necessarily believe that Kirk Cousins is going to go in and win a playoff game. I don't necessarily believe that Dak Prescott could go in and win, you know, a playoff game, or even one, maybe not two. I don't believe in either one of these quarterbacks. And let me just say, I like them both, but I don't believe in either one of them. I don't believe in either one of these head coaches. I like Zimmer. I don't think he's a Super Bowl, you know, head coach that's going to take his team. And I just don't believe in either one of these teams, Tim. And what I saw tonight were two, we'll call them paper tigers, battling it out. And at the end of the day, somebody had to win. Well, Minnesota got the win. Now everyone's going to jump off of Dallas. And they're gonna, this is going to be the freak-out moment about Dallas. And Dallas still might make the playoffs. And as a matter of fact, they look like they are still going to get into the playoffs.
Big story in Nashville today was the return of Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs lineup. 446, three touchdowns, but I believe, Tom, Derrick Henry still running somewhere. 188 yards, two touchdowns, and the Titans moved to 5-5 with a 35-32 win over the Chiefs. They dropped to 6-4. Is this, would you say, if you're looking for some type of value, and I don't know if it's going to change dramatically, but a lot of people jumping off the Chiefs bandwagon right now, you still feel that that's a team that's viable to be in the Super Bowl at the end of the year?
You know, I don't, but I didn't before the year began. I didn't because I don't think that defense is very good. You know, it has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes. This has everything to do with their defense just not being a good defense. I don't believe that you can win consistently in this league. I don't think that you can win playoff games in this league when you have a defense that is as weak as I believe that this defense is. They have a couple of guys that can get after the passer, which is nice. But overall, Tim, you know, nobody cares. And you just said it. Derrick Henry just ran for 180 yards on you. You don't think that Bill Belichick's taking notes? Right? So that's thinking out the face. We're just talking about Baltimore. If they face Baltimore, Derrick Henry ran for 188. How much do you think Jackson and Ingram put up?
Right.
I mean, to me, Kansas City is not a legitimate wrestler for a championship. Not because Patrick Mahomes isn't playing where he was. Not because of anything else. But the same problem they had last year is the same problem that they had come into this season is the same problem they have now. And the defense is just not very good. On the other side, by the way, how about Ryan Tannehill? And I'm not joking here. Can we give this guy a little bit of credit? He was stuck with Adam Gase, who has been proven to just be a disaster of a head coach, right? Ryan Tannehill leading his team down the field, getting a big win at home. The Tennessee Titans are rolling. And I told you what the rumors that I was hearing in August were that Ryan Tannehill was going to be the starting quarterback moving forward for this team. They gave Mariota a shot. Tannehill stole it. His coaching staff likes Tannehill. I'm not going to go out there and say that Tannehill is there, you know, going to get this big, great contract and be their guy. But I think Ryan Tannehill's done enough, Tim, to hold off the draft a quarterback conversation.
You think Marcus Mariota is still a starting quarterback in the NFL somewhere else?
Probably.
Yeah.
Just because of the state of the NFL, right? I mean, just because of the state of the quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't necessarily believe that he is, you know, a very good starting quarterback, even a viable starting quarterback, but I think he's not.
Tom, we pick one game every week that gets the big award. Damon, hit that music for me.
It's the Heatwave Sports Toilet Bowl Game of the Week.
Tommy, no surprise this week. I think you could have picked this one out before the games were played. The Miami Dolphins and the Indianapolis Colts get the Toilet Bowl Game of the Week. 16-12, the final. The Dolphins pick up win number two. The starting quarterbacks in this game, Ryan Fitzpatrick and whatever Hoyer brother that is, 370 yards combined passing yardage, one touchdown and four interceptions, 16-12, 28 total points, Toilet Bowl Game of the Week.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, baby, for MVP. I mean, he's got a team around him that's trying to lose. They're going out there, and their mindset is to attempt to lose. He goes on the road to beat Indianapolis. You could call it the Toilet Bowl Game of the Week, man, but I had a little money line, Miami Dolphins. Actually, Abby actually had a Will Ryan Fitzpatrick run in a touchdown, paying out 10-1. We hit that as well. So it might have been your toilet bowl game, but man, TomBartonSports.com and myself personally, the money on the toilet bowl game.
Yeah, really, the toilet bowl award should go to the Indianapolis Colts. What just ridiculous how this franchise manages to screw up everything. And I know we're going back years, even with the Andrew Luck situation, but man, I know Brissett was out. They just can't get out of their own way, Tom.
Nah, you got to win that game. I mean, forget about the fact that not only, is Miami, Miami, so they're trying to lose, right? Forget about the fact that they're trying to lose the game. How about the idea that they also lost their starting quarterback? They also lost Preston Williams, who has been a really good wide receiver. They were coming in trying to lose the game, and they couldn't still at home. You've got to find a way to win that game if you're Indy. You just have to. Again, a lot of people at Knockout Bulls are not too happy today.
And a lot, you know, I hear a lot of jokes about, oh, the Dolphins are screwing it up by winning. But really, they've stockpiled so many picks, Tom. And it, like you said, if they're not one, they're going to grab some talent in the first three picks. It's just a matter of what they're going to do with the rest of those picks to build this team. And I know you like the head coach there.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you know, I'm making a joke about the idea that, you know, he's trying to lose, right? He's not officially trying to lose. You know, he's not. The organization might be. But I do. I like this coach. I think it really does. It takes a lot to turn around and be handed what this guy's been handed and still kind of, you know, keep your chin up and handle it the way that he has. Nobody is said to go in there and win the game, right? Nobody said to go in there and even have a good year. Go in there and don't lose the locker room. Go in there and start to create a little bit of a culture. And I think that's what he's done. I think that's exactly what he's done. And if you're able to go in there and create a culture, even despite losing. And that's why Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback there right now. You know, people go, oh, my God, you know, Fitzpatrick's not the future. Why? Because they want to kind of people in an upbeat way. We can win games. Don't worry about it. We're going to be okay. And that's where I look at this Miami game and I go, yeah, I see a lot of good. I've been talking about it all year. Where I see the good here. I see the positives for Miami when nobody else does. And you're right. I think it's the best thing in the world. I really do, that they're not getting number one overall pick. Because they have a lot more problems than just the starting quarterback. They can not be forced. I mean, if you have the number one pick, you're taking Tua, right? I mean, you almost have to. But wait a minute. Now, Burrow's out there. You said, sorry, you have options. Now, you could go, you could stockpile picks, you could get three or four good guys, and you're not just designed to have to take that number one quarterback and make that basically the entirety of your team. And go out there and you can be smart about this. I don't think it's a bad thing that Miami is not getting the number one pick.
Hour three on the way when we come back. A couple more games to go through the NFL schedule along with your Monday night preview. But when we return, Las Vegas Raiders Radio Report on deck. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.